today in Rich in Relationship, we're going to talk about
money talks, how going unconscious about finances will kill your marriage. I know that because statistically, 76% of all couples who are married fight about money. Why is one of you driving a minivan and the other one a Maserati? You may be noticing these things and it's bringing up tensions and you're not talking about it because you're avoiding it. Hello and welcome to another episode of Rich in Relationship. I am Rich Heller, the host of Rich in Relationship, and we are talking about money talks, or really how not talking about money will kill your marriage. Going unconscious about finances will kill your marriage. And how do I know that? I know that because statistically, 76% of all couples who are married fight about money. That means more than 3 out of 4, if there is such a thing. 76%, that's a little more than 3 out of 4. 50% or more of all marriages fail. So you do the math. If 76% of all couples are fighting about marriage, and half of all marriages are failing, you bet there's going to be a connection between money and failed marriages. And it's not that money is the root of all evil. It's that the love of money is the root of all evil. Or maybe in this case, not talking about money is the root of all evil in the marriage. You're listening to this and you're thinking, well, I manage the household expenses. I know about the money. Or maybe you're listening to this and you're thinking, I manage our 401k and our investments and our college fund. I know about money, but it's not whether you know about money that's the problem. It's not whether he knows about money or she knows about money that's the problem. It's the things that you both don't know, or that one of you doesn't know and the other one knows. It's the unknown things, the things that we assume, the things that we are not talking about, the things that we basically, it's not like we're avoiding it. We just go unconscious about it. And this episode is all about that. Now, I've worked with a lot of couples, and I'm going to tell you that what I just described to you is actually pretty typical. One partner tends to manage the household, and the other one tends to manage the future of the family. And the two don't often speak. They just assume that the other one has it. Very much like in the last episode, we talked about parallel lives that comes with having children. Well, that parallel lives syndrome slips into the world of our finances. Actually, the last episode was all about being unconscious about work. And we talked about parallel lives in that context. So how does parallel lives show up when it comes to our finances? The way that it shows up is that we are each on our own individual track. We are each managing what we manage. And as long as we're doing a good job, we just assume the other person is as well. Clearly, part of the breakdown is nobody does anything perfectly. And sometimes the other person isn't managing their part as well. Other ways that we can go unconscious about money in the marriage is, how are we dividing up the income? If there's one stream of income, how is that money being contributed to the family? How much of that money is being given to each person to spend? How much of that money is being put away for the future? And who is making those decisions and managing it? Very often, couples go unconscious about that. Or maybe both couples, both individuals are earning in the couple, but they're just not, there's a place where money gets put for shared expenses. And people just randomly put the money in without really thinking about it. They're unconscious about it. This is another way couples can be unconscious about money. They can be unconscious about how much are they earning. They can be unconscious about how much of it's going to go into joint expenses. They can be unconscious about how much are they entitled to for themselves. They can be unconscious about how much are we going to put away for the future. They can be unconscious about, do we need an emergency fund? They can be unconscious about, do we need a college fund? They can be unconscious about, do we need health insurance? They can be unconscious about so many things. And statistically, most Americans are living hand to mouth, regardless of how much they're earning, which means they're not really thinking about it. It means that the money comes in, the more money comes in, the faster they spend it. And hand to mouth means they're robbing Paul to pay Peter. They're trying to figure out how to cover those bills. There are families that are making a couple of hundred grand or a couple of million dollars a year that just aren't putting money away for the future. They're just not thinking about it. They're taking care of the expenses in the now and maybe even borrowing more for a bigger, better house or for a better car, because part of making that money is about looking good. Being unconscious about finances involves all of these things. Symptoms of being unconscious about money are no plan for the future, minimal money being set away for retirement, no health insurance, no emergency fund. You should have at least 3 months worth of money put away in case one or both of you loses their job or somebody is sick. Not a high level of unsecured debt like credit cards. If you're carrying regularly $20,000 or $30,000 or $40,000 worth of credit card debt and you're not paying it down, that's a sign that you've gone unconscious about money. If you are each spending money individually and don't have any idea how much each of you should be spending, if you haven't decided what each of you should get just as mad money, money that you can spend on yourselves, that's a sign that you've gone unconscious. If you're living hand to mouth, you're clearly living unconscious. These are all symptoms. The unconscious symptoms show up because there is an avoidance of spending plan discussions. They come up because maybe one or both of you feels like you're just spending too much money and you don't want the other one to know. Maybe you feel guilty or shameful about what you're doing with your money. Or maybe you're putting all your money into the family and not saving any of it for yourself because you feel you don't deserve it. That's unconscious strategy at work. It's a form of self-neglect and neglect of the relationship. Maybe you don't have financial goals for yourselves as individuals. Maybe you don't have financial goals for your family. You're just so busy getting by. These are all consequences. And the long-term impact? The long-term impact is that anytime an unexpected expense come up, you fight about who's going to pay for it or how. The long-term consequences are that when there's problems in school and maybe you need to send your kids to get special ed somewhere, or maybe you need to send them to another school, or maybe you need to move to get into a better school system and the money just isn't there, you fight about it. And then you start to lay into each other. Maybe what you've noticed is you're really upset about your partner's spending. Why are they buying so many sneakers, shoes, coats, suits, dresses, shirts, designer glasses? Why is one of you driving a minivan and the other one a Maserati? I'm exaggerating, but you may be noticing these things and it's bringing up tensions and you're not talking about it because you're avoiding it, or you're tearing each other to pieces because you're not talking about it. Yeah, not talking. By the way, if you're fighting about money, that is not talking about it. That is shredding each other over the problem instead of being transparent and creating communication. Let's say you've got one, two, three, or all of these things going on. Not unusual, by the way. You do not need to feel shamed about this. You might feel guilt, because guilt is a motivator for changing. Shame means that on some level, individually, you don't feel good about it. But where you don't want to be is blame. Where you don't want to be is tearing your partner apart over their behavior. Now, in the last episode, I gave you an assignment about this specific thing, about what do we do if we're experiencing a lot of blame and we're experiencing a lot of anger and we're constantly picking on our partner. And what I told you to do, or suggested that you do, is look in the mirror and get that you cannot judge something in another human being unless you've already judged it in yourself. Now we're going to talk about what to do with that. The most powerful strategy in any relationship, whether it be another person or with ourselves, is grace. And I'm not necessarily talking about the grace of God, though if you have God in your life, I am. But if you don't believe in God, I'm talking about grace with yourself. Grace. What is grace? Grace means that we acknowledge that there's nothing that person can be doing that maybe we haven't done or are capable of doing. Grace means forgiving them. Grace means being compassionate to the behavior that's happening on the other side. Look in the mirror and give yourself grace. Look in the mirror and get that within you are many yous that have many needs. And if you've been spending money without talking to your partner about it and are feeling guilty about it, there was probably a need that you thought or felt you could meet through spending that money. And of course, spending money never meets emotional needs. Maybe that's not an of course for you. But when people get divorced, they fight about money. It's usually because they have unfinished emotional business. And since they're shredding the marriage to pieces, they fight over money and possessions. We have a tendency, money is a symbol, and we have a tendency to project our emotional needs on our financial status. And so when we're in a relationship and we're living hand to mouth, it's because we're spending money trying to fill that emptiness, but we're experiencing emotional bankruptcy, just like our relationship is experiencing a form of financial bankruptcy. And the only way through this is to grow yourself, is to give yourself grace, to forgive that part of yourself, to love that part of yourself. Or you could meet yourself with the same blame and anger, and might I add, from personal experience, hypocrisy that you've been meeting your partner with. But what do? That creates greater dissonance within ourselves. And this whole series is really about self-mastery. It's about ending the self-sabotage. And the source of the self-sabotage are these parts of ourselves that feel neglected, these parts of ourselves that feel unwanted, these parts of ourselves that feel that things are not as they should be, these parts of ourselves that are critical, the parts of ourselves that are struggling to find expression. And self-mastery is about bringing these parts into harmony. And honestly, that's not an easy thing to do on our own. My client, Tom, is a very successful doctor who has sold his practice and has made a good deal of money, but he doesn't feel like he's enough on the inside. And he's been compensating for it with spending. He's been compensating for it by buying a better car, by investing money in high-risk stocks and then losing it, by living a life that reflects how he wants to feel, but doesn't. And when we worked together and he got a grip on that his financial behavior was a false means of compensating for his sense of emotional deficiency, and when we addressed the emotional deficiency, and when he embraced the parts of himself that felt needy, he embraced the parts of himself that were angry at those needy parts for expressing themselves through expenditure, when he brought some inner harmony to those parts, when he let go of old emotions and assumptions around money, all of his behavior changed. And what came out of that for Tom was he started to talk with his partner about what was going on. His partner just thought everything was fine, right? On the surface, Tom's driving a nice car. On the surface, they have a nice house. On the surface, they've got a country home. On the surface, all of these things are good. But he started talking to his partner. He said, honey, I've blown a lot of the money that we saved, and I'm getting help with it. And they started creating plans, strategies. They started talking about, all right, how much money do we need for our remaining years? What do we need to do with our lifestyle to have the money that we have work for our remaining years? Or do we need to go back to work? Do we need to reinvest? What do we need to do? They started to talk. They first had a once a year talk about their finances. Then they had monthly check-ins on was the money coming in, going out at the same rate or not? So they managed their expenses. They managed what was coming in. What do we need to bring in more if we want to spend more? They looked at ways that they could bring in greater income, even at retirement age. And they took control of their finances together as a team, because Tom stopped being unconscious. Tom stopped blaming his wife, right? Because the truth is, his wife was spending a ton of money too. Why? Because she was following Tom's lead. Tom's buying expensive cars. Da, da, da. But once she understood where they really were, And once Tom confessed to her what was going on with him and the work that we were doing together, they were in harmony. They were in sync. She understood what was happening. She gave him the grace he was giving himself, and he gave her grace as well. I'm going to encourage you now to get really honest about your finances. Do you have 3 months of money set away for an emergency? Do you have health insurance? Are you living hand to mouth? Do you have money set aside for your kids' college? Is there more money coming in than is going out? And by going out, I mean being spent on living. I don't mean if going out, I'm not including 401k as going out, though it is going out. 401k is investing in your future. Right? How much are you investing in your future? Are you investing in your future? How much are you talking about your household expenses and your long-term investment in your future and the life that you want to have together? And if you're stuck on any of these, I'm going to offer you the opportunity to speak with me to get some help with this. And the way to do it is go to my website, richinrelationship.com, richinrelationship.com. Go to richinrelationship.com, and you'll find plastered all over that first page. So I'll just schedule a free call with me. Let me know that you found me through the podcast, and we're going to make sure we take some extra time. That's usually a 20-minute call. We'll take some extra time together to see what's going on and what are the next steps for you. The next steps that you want and need. Now, there's so much more that we can do with this. Just remember that 80% of who you are is unconscious mind, that all these strategies for managing money, you didn't just make them up. They were programmed into you in childhood. You got them from the wider society. You got them from the most influential people in your life, and they just made sense to you. And part of what needs to happen is to bring these strategies to light and adjust them and change them so that they work for you and your partner. And they have the same thing going on. And just get that your unconscious mind is your friend. Show it grace, and it wants to help you and it wants to grow. And here at Rich in Relationship, we can help you with that if it's something you're ready, willing, and able to get helped with. I think the next episode of Rich in Relationship is going to be about self-sabotage and external relationships, external influences and relationships on marriage. So stay tuned for the next episode of Rich in Relationship, and let me know how you do with that exercise.